for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years in the games and big part. I want to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures. We can watch and record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. Excuse me. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Apparently, you've got a fact for me, Max.
Yeah. So last week. We discussed that Netflix is bullshit with its fucking part one, part two, part three nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was when we were bitching about...
That's how the conversation started. And then we wound up with, you know, first Harry Potter movie, Harry Potter cast zero spells.
Yes, which is bizarre, but accurate.
Did you notice the foreshadowing of why Hermione's garbage in potions by the end of the Half-Blood Prince? And Harry becomes the top student and Hermione's just absolutely hot garbage?
No.
And how you knew that Snape was the Half-Blood Prince the entire time?
No.
So in the first 5 books, every potions class, Snape would be like, and the instructions? On the board. And he'd write his own instructions. But in the year where Slughorn takes over, they all use their books. And the book is wrong every year. But Harry has Snape's book, which has dictation in it, with the correct way to do it, and that's why he's like a fucking pro at potions by the end of it, because he's following Snape's instructions, which have always been correct throughout the entire series. And the one time that Hermione doesn't follow them, because she's reading from her actual book instead of his notes on the board, she fucking sucks, because all she can do is actually follow instructions.
Wow, that is actually a really good pull. Like, that is amazing. Because, yeah, like, I understand the concept that the reason Harry was good at...
Not once did they ever use their books in the first 5 years. He would always put the instructions on the board.
Actually, that is very,
and they
very
would,
true.
And they, would follow, the instructions on the board.
Wow.
And as soon as she had to follow the wrong instructions, she's like, I don't get why this isn't working. I'm following the instructions. This is bullshit.
Damn. I still wonder why the potion book is being released every year. Or still being a required purchase, if it's objectively wrong.
Yeah, well, what are you gonna do? Like, someone's gonna make.
Like, what's with the gatekeeping of the potions? Hey, Lotharu, there's a stranger I haven't seen. Well, how are you, my friend? Good to see you around. Currently, we're kicking off the show by discussing unnecessary Harry Potter facts. Because Max blew my brain last week, and this week starts off just as interestingly strong. So, I don't have any facts for myself.
Have you got your national pride on now that the Olympics has officially started?
Absolutely not. I care about the Olympics because I have to for work. Because we've tied in a giveaway compared to the medal tally. Which they put a dollar value to it. So if Australia gets a gold, it's like $1,000 of Manshake credit. If it's a silver, it's $500. If it's bronze, it's $250. And when they pitched that, I was like, you are aware how many medals we win on average, right? Like, if we look at previous, you know, I looked at 2020 and was it Beijing? No, yeah. Mm. And I'm like, we fucking cleaned up. So like... Yeah. I hope you're ready to spend. And then, like, opening weekend, where four golds, two silvers. I'm like, all right, are you ready?
Yeah, the swimming hasn't even really kicked into gear yet. And
yeah, we're going to decimate. Oh, speaking of swimming, though, I did chuckle this week because someone made a tweet about, like, oh, you know, why is the Australian, it's bullshit, the Australians are so good at swimming. And essentially the response was, because, you know, we're girt by sea. Like, that's why we are good at swimming. And I was like, holy shit, someone put girt into a conversation and it made sense. And it was like, it could be a relatively organic use of the term girt, which for context means to be surrounded by. But yeah, it's one of the one word in our stupid national anthem, which is also not a very good national anthem. You know, this one word that throws everybody off. But the only thing I've given a shit about in the entire Olympics so far, Max, is the opening ceremony. Not even all of it, just one part of it. Like, it's
okay. So I think I know what you're referencing, right? And for context, I had no idea what you were talking about. I thought you were just making a really bad joke.
About what?
I'm like, about Godzilla being at the Olympics?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm like, no. That's Japan. Like, when they do Tokyo again or whatever, that's when we see Gojira. But no, it's actually the band Gojira, which is so cool. So I'm not like, it's one of those things where I saw a clip on Twitter. I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, has someone just messed with it? And they're like, no, it's absolutely true. So, you know, everyone's probably seen it. Like, you know, there's a zoom-in shot of an actress dressed as Marie Antoinette, like, holding her own head. That imagery alone, fucks. It's awesome.
It's all been pulled down. You can't watch the opening ceremony.
Oh, well, it's on YouTube. It's on Stan. You can watch it.
I tried to find it today. It's been ripped down.
Oh, go to Stan. It's in Stan.
Go to Stan.
Because I watched it literally yesterday again, very loudly.
Very loudly.
Yeah, and then they do like a hard zoom out, like a real quick, and then it cuts to like fucking pyro and like this real like good chugging. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And there's just a dude hanging off the side of this building just like thrashing, and it was beautiful. And like I said, I'm not like a huge Gojira fan. Like, I've seen them, but and I've heard them, but I've never like consumed them actively. Mm. So like for me, this is beautiful and exciting, based around essentially some vindication for heavy metal music or heavier music to be like, no, like we care so much about it that we're putting it. And like clearly it creates such a tone, you know, it's not like a throw to the band itself, because no one knew who Gojira was and they weren't like, it's Gojira that has had a dope metal band play. So I think it's more of a vindication, more of an amplification or like a way to showcase that genre of music and its impact, especially with that operatic vocals, very similar to that of like Nightwish, etc. Like, that's where it has a clear benefit. You know, because then I was having a discussion with someone today at work. They're also a big metalhead, and they're like, "Oh, wouldn't it be amazing to have someone like this play, you know, the AFL Grand Final or you know the NRL, you know, whatever?" I'm like, "Nah, man, that's absolutely not happening." And here's why: because you'll notice that they only ever use legacy acts for these things. Like, you know, we're getting Katy Perry for the Australian AFL Grand Final this year. Like, yeah, she's got a new album, but you know, her most strongest like career high was like what, 2006, so like shy of 20 years ago. So, because there's no breakthrough artists within the last couple of years aside from Taylor Swift, but even then she's too expensive, and she's also from that time, right? So the only bands that you would ever get of a heavier music that would play an event like this, whether it be Super Bowl, whatever, would be the likes of like Metallica, I guess. Because like, name one universally known, because the catch is, because Lothari mentions the Who, as in H-U, like the, I think they're Mongolian, like that real like throaty metal band. Like, they're great, but they don't have the mass appeal. Like, because that's what needs to happen. They need to have mass appeal. So, you know, wouldn't happen. Metallica is pretty much the same one, or like an Iron Maiden or someone like that. But I think Metallica is probably the most universally loved, like, or a known heavy metal band. And I'm not even a really big fan, because they're not there. What about yourself? Have you dived into the Olympic side of life? Slipknot is well known. That is absolutely true. But Slipknot, they are not visual. Their visual aesthetic would be a lot, especially in those more conservative spaces. If they
I think they would have fit perfectly fine for the opening ceremony of that they put on.
Yeah, and let's just say if the next Olympic Games are in Iowa, in Des Moines, Iowa, in America, then maybe. But like, if they were just very similar to Gojira, if there were just three dudes that didn't look like your nightmare in a jumpsuit, then I think they would be, successful, right? Mm. Everyone knows who Slipknot is. It's just too much. They are in America. Ooh.
Yeah. I enjoy the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Hadley's been doing been covering the Olympics for the last week in kinder. So she's like, Dad, can we watch the Olympics? I'm like, sure. What do you want to watch, kiddo? She's like, football. I'm like, you don't want to watch football.
Because football's soccer.
Because the football you're thinking of is not the football that they play at the Olympics. And she's like, we could watch basketball. She's like, oh yeah, I like basketball. She's like, what about the exercises? I'm like, do you mean like the floor gymnastics? She's like, yeah.
Yeah, the like, floor gymnastics is always, like, the gymnastics is always fun.
I'm like, we can watch that as long as it's not like 5 o'clock in the morning, at, like a bullshit o'clock. But yeah, I always get into it. I like watching the basketball. I like watching the table tennis.
Table tennis is crazy.
It's insanely good.
Now that skateboarding has been an Olympic sport for a number of years, like that is intriguing to watch if you like skateboarding. But it's not quite like extreme games level of cool, because they don't push themselves that hard. But they still
it's so funny that there's like so many better skaters that they're just like, nah, fuck the Olympics.
Yeah, and they're like, I don't want to do the Olympics. Right? The Reverend Puck in the chat asked, Olympic rugby.
There is rugby. When she means football, she means AFL.
Yeah.
I
watched 2 out of 3 games of the NRL, which is the Australian the National Rugby League here in Australia. What's called their state of origin, where the New South Wales fights Queensland. So 2 states of the country that I don't live in, nor do I really care. But it's essentially the WrestleMania of NRL. Like, it's fucked and it's awesome and it's just dudes running into dudes and it's brilliant. And I'll never watch any other game of the year except for the State of Origins. I'll come back next year and watch them for sure. But is obviously the basketball, like, is there like the one sport that is the max Olympic sport?
Beach volleyball.
Well, that checks out.
That checks out.
Yeah.
Fencing.
Did you see some guy doing, like, I saw a clip this morning of some guy doing like this, like jumping up and down like a duck and a weaving, like he's, and they get actually, stabbed and then
it's become more and more commonplace, but to have the weightlifters come out and do fucking anime poses before they
fucking... really,
yeah,
suddenly you're like super invested. Be honest, we're all waiting for the breakdancing exhibit. What, this breakdancing Olympic sport?
My fucking weebdar just goes nuts.
Like, oh, these, Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, if, it's actually, oh my God, holy shit. Like, breakdancing is literally a sport this year. Okay, that's intriguing. See, I did hear someone pitch the idea of, like, wrestling at the Olympic Games. But no. Not that, like, two dudes tussling, like, getting up each other's front areas. We're talking
about... not real wrestling, yeah, fake wrestling.
Yeah, fake wrestling. Because... very simple, similar to like synchronized swimming or anything like that. If you're given 5 minutes to craft an incredible wrestling match, you could, like, in the same performative athletic fashion, it would be amazing. And like, it's, it'd be Australia and you pick 2 Australian people and they fight each other. It's not like nations fighting each other. It's performative in the same way that, the other ones are. Like, that would be dope. Imagine the best fucking professional wrestling coming from every country of the world. Like, hey, did you know that, like, I don't know.
So what is it, just whoever puts on the better match?
It's all matched by a series of scores, like every other sport, like synchronized swimming. It's about like
So it's not like the winner gets the points. It's whoever does the best performance.
Which is why you would have, a match that is both Australian. So it's like a team, right? And, they then both get the gold if they deliver the best performance. Like, some of the things that would come out of, like, Mexico or, like, Japan, like, they would clean fucking house. in that. And then you could have tag teams and then multi-man matches. And then suddenly, you have to, people that aren't even in the match, that are ringside, like waiting to get tagged, they also get marked on how they perform and how they, how they engage. Like, that'd be amazing. That's why professional wrestling should be an Olympic sport. Well, thank you for letting me be here. It's my TED Talk. I'm out. Because I don't give a flying fuckhole about Olympics at all. At all. But that would get me. Immediately. What have you been playing
this week?
Yeah, I was going to say, what have I been up to this week? All right, well, let's go there. So... it's a busy weekend as we are recording on a Monday compared to our usual Sunday because I forgot to tell Max. I didn't tell him at all. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've got a wrestling show this weekend. Oh, cool, it's Sunday. Yep, cool. It's a matinee show. It's probably about 2 o'clock where it kicks off. Yeah, cool. I'll be home by showtime. I have done like fucking 3 or 4 Sunday matinee shows that all started around 2. And what happens every time I do a Sunday wrestling show, Max?
Coincidentally, normally I'm also running that late that night, and we just unanimously. Oh,
no, so normally we just move it to the Monday because
normally we just move it to the Monday because we're both like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah, screw that noise. I'm tired. I want to get home. And then now that you start work earlier and whatever, I was like, I didn't tell you that I have a show, and you're like, I'm running late. I'm like, cool, me too. I'm still in Thornbury.
Because I went to Graysland on Sunday.
What's a Graysland?
Graysland's like a big food truck. Food court thing.
Oh, I've been to one of them in the Gold Coast. It was awesome.
Yeah, so was this. I had fucking cheesecake on a stick.
Oh.
With gay time crumb and fucking caramel sauce all over it. So wow. I came home and passed it out from a food coma.
Oh, beautiful.
Because I ate like Argentinian barbecue and I had like fucking bao buns with crispy pork belly. I ate so much from around the world. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get some Greek donuts for dessert. And then I'm like, cheesecake on a stick. So I ate Greek donuts and cheesecake on a stick.
I can assure you had the most multicultural poo today.
Yeah.
Would you recommend
this? It was so good. It's pretty pricey.
Is it
pricey.
A once a year thing or is it like a...
No, it's on every weekend. It was so big. Like I was fucking pissing down, right? I was so busy still.
Yeah, it was gross.
So busy still.
So what were what were your standouts from Graysland?
So what we did, I went with my mum, my sister, and my sister's partner. So essentially we all picked one thing each and we bought like the family platter from each place.
Good call,
we just kind of shared. So I picked my platter was the bao buns. So I got
checks out.
Pulled beef and pork belly. They were awesome. Mum just wanted meat on a stick, so we just got like an assortment of meats on sticks. Fine. Got lamb.
If you go to some sort of like fair, you must get various items on sticks. It is the requirement.
Then they all pissed off and got seafood and shellfish. I'm like, no, thank you. So they were like sucking back oysters and shit. I'm like, ugh. And then we got the Argentinian barbecue, which was amazing. We got ribs and it just fell off the fucking bone. I'm like,
what makes it Argentinian though?
I don't know. The spices that they use, I guess. I don't know.
Like, I don't care. I just ate it.
Yeah. And then we had some like short ribs as well with this amazing chimichurri, which was great.
It went to war with England in the 80s.
And then, obviously for dessert, Greek donuts and cheesecake on a stick. So by the end of it, I was very full, and then I had to drive home with a full belly. And I was tired.
The belt was undone. Was it?
Unclipped the pants.
Nice. That's a good festival day if you've had to undo the pants.
And then I'll hold it up to the camera for those.
Please don't talk about your undone pants.
No. So on the way out, we were my mum wanted to get Hadley something because Hadley couldn't come with us. So mum's like, can I buy her some fairy floss? I'm like, yeah, you can buy her some fucking fairy floss. Why not? What's the worst that could happen? So
that fairy floss is bigger than your mum's head.
Yeah, so it's in the shape of a fucking unicorn. The guy's like standing there spinning it, makes the head, spins another circle and rips the circle in half. So it's like a fucking mohawk of hair. And then he fucking crafts the horn, twists it all up, and there's a big fucking horn of fairy floss.
And knowing your daughter... who adores unicorns.
But the best part is, because I couldn't hold on to it the entire drive home, it sat on my seat.
And it flattened out.
So it flattened out half of its face.
Did Hadley care?
No, because she ripped it all apart, separated it into a bunch of bags, and went, I'll save some for later.
But she was happy that it was Big Unicorn?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So is Nanny Kay still down?
Yeah, so she's coming to stay with us on Wednesday, and she'll be here for 10 days. So she's up with my sister at the moment.
So this is the fun thing. So for those of you that play at home, when Nanny Kay comes, that's when Max gets his maximum gaming time in. Like outside,
I'm going to get to sleep in, man. It's the most exciting thing ever. She'll watch the kids while I sleep. So excited.
What about myself? Outside of that, not a whole lot. Mostly work. I don't think, did I talk about my new role? I think I did, but that was like 3 weeks ago. So at the moment, we're waiting to hear back about a new place. So the house I currently live in, I've lived here for nearly 2 years, just over. And so my partner Phoebe, the lease on her place expired, and she chose to not renew it. So she's got to be out of her place in about 3 weeks. And then we thought, well, fuck it. Let's poke around. Let's see what there is. Like, I love this house, but I picked it because I needed a house at the time. And there are some things that's great about this house, but there's also some things that are asshole about this house. So I was like, okay, well, what if we find a place in the middle? A place that doesn't get unbearably cold all the time. A place that doesn't get unbearably hot all the time. A place where it doesn't look like it's going to fall apart. So we found a couple of places that we liked, but then we found this one place. And it is like the perfect place for a number of different ways. A, it's got the size, so I can, you know, I can have a studio space in a second living area, so it doesn't impact any of the rooms. It's not an enclosed room like this one, so it will be open, so we'll have to tinker with the sound a little bit. But that'll be fine.
Mine's open and it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Like, so yeah, we'll be that. So it'll be fine. It's got a wood fireplace. Oh, love it. It's got a huge veggie garden, which made Phoebe almost cry. It's got a bath room. Not a bathroom, a bath room. So in the very old school way of going about it, like the toilet, the shower, and the bath all have their own separate rooms, which is really bizarre. But the bathroom, it's got this old, like, 70s style wood paneling. It reminds me of my auntie's house growing up. And it's got this, like, cauldron of a bathtub. Like, I could sit in it and actually be submersed, which never happens because I'm just a tall, fat dude, right? But, like, this, I could comfortably soak in this bathtub. And, I can't wait. It's got a lovely little courtyard, very similar to my house currently. But this is more of a U-shape, so it's got more of a quad rather than, you know, my little compound. Because it's on, like, a hilly area. It's got, like, you know, a set of stairs in, which instantly became my son's favorite thing in the world. The fact that it's got its stairs. In his head, it's two-story. Therefore, it's the best house in the world. So we went to the inspection on the weekend. So I went and looked at it during the week. And then we went back on Saturday with Phoebe and my son. And that was when all the schmoozing happened, you know. And I think that worked in our favor, hopefully. And we will be moving into that ASAP. And then I knew what the fuck I'm going to do with this house, because my lease doesn't end until January. So it might cost me a bit of money. But the other house is too cool to say no. But yeah, the fun part is I can at least, like, cancel the gas, electricity, and all that sort of stuff. And if I just have to pay the rent here, you know, like, I was already sharing the rent with my housemate, so we'll just pay the same. We'll just pay what we were paying already, and the money that we would spend on the electricity, internet, or whatever here, we'll just go over there. It's because we do everything through, like, all our bills are paid by that regular drop away. Really unexciting stuff for those of you playing at home. But in short, that does mean that it's very likely that in a couple of weeks, then we may have a disruption in our release schedule by like one or two, you know, we may miss a week or two, depending on how quickly I can get this all packed down and packed up. The idea would be that I'd need it ASAP because this is where I work, as well as record this show. It's probably one of the first things to go up. But the backdrop may not be as it was. It may just be a functional space rather than aesthetically pleasing as this one.
In the background, it'll just be a fucking roaring fire.
Oh, very sexy. Yeah, very sexy. But yeah, that's probably the one thing that I'm really excited for. I think that's going to be awesome fun.
Well, I hope it all works out for you.
Me too. It'd be cool. You know, and it's nice to sort of be, you know, have Phoebe move in as well. And, you know, it's very scary for me. You know, because the last time I lived with a partner was my ex-wife. You know, I wasn't very good at it then. You know what I mean? So there's a...
I'm sorry, what was I?
No. But you know what I mean? Like, I mean, with a partner, right?
Let's say how it is. I thought we had something special.
Yeah,
okay?
We did have something special, but you know, you weren't my partner. We were just smashing. You know, it's different. Yeah, obviously I lived with you for a while. That was lovely. But I mean, like, in terms of living with a partner and like, you and I live together, but we live separately. We just live together. We're like, you know, you get what I'm saying? Awkward. No, it's hot. It's what it is. It's hot. Yeah, so that, you know, that I'm quite scared about that because, you know, I didn't really do a good job of it the first time, so much so that I have an ex-wife. So I'm hoping to correct those things this time around, which I think I can do. A lot of learning, a lot of therapy, a lot of self-reflection. For those of you playing at home, go to therapy if you need it. Just saying. It's pretty fucking good. Changes your life. Makes things better. Just do that. But, I don't know, it turns out she's pretty cool, so that'll work in my favor. And she's understanding of my bullshit, which also helps.
But she is this good. A therapist or Phoebe?
Both.
Cool.
Phoebe is not my therapist, but...
No, I hope not. That'd be really illegal, I think.
But it should be cool.
She just groomed you for like the last year.
Yeah, not even mad about it. All right, what have we been playing, Max?
Oh, okay. What a fucking smorgasbord that I've been playing. I'll kick things off with the Marvel Rivals beta.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I was lucky enough to score access to the closed beta for Marvel Rivals. So I've been playing it over on PC. So essentially, it is a reskinned Overwatch with the beloved Marvel characters. It's great. I really like it. Obviously, it's got that bias of having characters that I know and love, whereas Concord currently doesn't. But it's great. Really, really digging it. I've only played one fucking map, though. And it is fairly bland and bare bones.
Is that because there is only one map in the beta?
Look, I thought there was only one map in the Concord beta and I was just wrong. So clearly I may just be unlucky and keep getting the same one. It's fine. They've got... So each character has a set of skills, active skills, passive skills, and what they call... I think they're called team-up skills. Mm-hmm. So you can request someone pick your team-up partner. And then you have an active skill to use between the two characters. So I think, for instance, the only one that comes to mind at the moment is Loki and Hela. So if Loki dies and Hela scores a kill, Hela can just instantly respawn the Loki that's on her team. They don't have to wait for the cooldown timer to like respawn in. Oh, it's okay. Just like, bam, you're back. Which is really cool. There's a wide selection of characters at the moment. I haven't played everyone. I'm kind of maining Doctor Strange at the moment. Doctor Strange is a very weird character where he's essentially a support character, I feel. So his basic attack is he just shoots bolts of energy at people. Fine. One of his active abilities is uses the Cloak of Levitation, levitates and can fly around for a little bit. The other is he can fucking sling ring open a portal, sets a portal at one point, sets a portal at another point. You can shoot through that portal, it'll come out the other side.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Teammates can jump through, enemies can jump through.
So how does that go from like where you set, like, because, you know, do you set the one up and it's there, but it's doing nothing, and then you got to fucking run away and then appeal?
No, so the second you place the first one, you start placing the second one, and the camera just takes over where the portal is, so you can just run around the map as
So you look at the map and you choose where it drops, or do you have to physically be there?
You have to run there. So okay. To place the first one, you have to be there, and then it'll go into essentially like a free cam mode.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That was what I was curious.
So, like, For instance, you place one off the map and one in front of the spawn door of the enemy, they can just run through the door straight into the portal straight off the side of the map. Hilarious. Hilarious.
That's a bit OP, isn't it?
They added Thor and Adam Warlock last weekend.
Are they going deep cuts, or are they going like at least MCU adjacent?
They got MCU adjacent. So the current roster, let me see if I can pull it up.
I mean that in terms of like, obviously you got the main MCU characters that we're aware of, but then you have, you know, like your Adam Warlock, so who we see in Guardians.
So you've got Star-Lord, Hela, Namor, Loki, Magic.
Hang on, slow it back down. Go from the start again.
Star-Lord.
Yeah, we've seen Star-Lord.
Hela.
Yeah.
Namor, which we've seen in the last Black Panther movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I haven't seen the second Black Panther yet, so that's absolutely true. Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Loki.
Yeah, well, of course.
Magic, which we haven't seen at all.
No, we haven't seen Magic. That's Colossus's sister or something.
Yeah, I know her from...
Midnight Suns is what I know from.
Midnight Suns, yeah. Groot.
Well, yeah.
Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
Lunar Snow, which we haven't seen.
No. I don't even think Black I've ever seen... I don't... Lunar Snow doesn't ring a bell to me at all.
Black Panther.
Doesn't ring a bell. No idea.
You know who Black Panther is. Iron Man.
Absolutely do. Yeah, Iron Man.
Hulk.
Yep.
Spoods.
Yep.
Doc Strange.
Yep.
Magneto.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Mantis,
yes.
Penny Parker.
Okay.
Venom.
Yeah, because we saw him in the trailer.
Adam Warlock.
Yep.
And that shark motherfucker. What's his name? Jeff.
What?
Jeff the Shark.
Jeff the Pretty Shark?
Sure. I think it's Jeff. Is it Jeff? Or am I fucking crazy? It's Jeffrey the Land Shark.
I do not know who Jeffrey the Land Shark is.
Jeff the Land Shark is adopted by Gwenpool during her time in the West Coast Avengers.
Oh, okay. Okay. So Jeff the Land Shark has definitely not appeared in the MCU. Reverend Parker does jump in with the fact check and goes, Magic was in the last Fox Marvel movie. Yeah, but they would fit within that Marvel adjacent, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry, MCU adjacent. Obviously,
Jeff has a hilarious ability where he can eat everyone and then spit them out. So you can eat everyone and then spit them off the side of the map.
Nice.
Including teammates.
So with the with Deadpool Wolverine coming out this week, combining the Fox and the MCU, so that's what they are all collectively one now, I suppose.
So I've been playing that. It's cool.
Obviously no spoilers because Max hasn't seen it yet.
No, not yet. There's no release date on this. Apparently, it is 2025, but it is a free-to-play title, so it's sitting in that. It's not... It will be competing with Concord, but at a later date, because it sounds like Concord's going to come out first.
Well, that has a confirmed date.
Yeah. The other things that I've been playing this week, I reinstalled Fortnite.
Okay.
They are running a Pirates of the Caribbean event at the moment, which is awesome. The skins look great. I don't have enough V-Bucks for them, which makes me sad. I've also decided that Fortnite needs to do what World of Warcraft did. I need a Fortnite classic. Bring back the Season 1 map. Get rid of all the shit that came after that. Give me back the original guns. No build. Bring it back. I want to go back to where it all began. Because I booted up. I'm like, I don't fucking know any of these places. I don't know what the fuck's going on here. I can pick up gold bars now, and there's NPCs that I can talk to buy weapons from, and everything's the fucking cyber trucks are in there now. Elon Musk has taken over Fortnite with his shitty cyber truck, and I'm just confused. Everyone's got cars with fucking gun turrets on them now. I'm like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Yeah, I don't like the idea of guns getting involved. I don't like the idea of cars getting involved. That seems kind of to negate what was.
No, I'm fine with having vehicles that allow you to drive and like stay in front of the gas. But like, why do they have like fucking rockets and miniguns attached to them now? Like, how am I supposed to compete with that?
Twisted metal structure,
especially in a no build mode where they just fucking come out of nowhere and go, and you're dead. You're like, cool, rad, love it.
Cool, yeah. What's on you for playing Fortnite? So suck dick.
Yeah, look, that is on me for playing Fortnite.
Is that Kratos skin available again?
No, not at the moment.
Don't care.
But other than that, I don't think I've been playing much else. Yeah, that's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah, look, I'm in a similar space, really. Like, I've not played a lot. I obviously played more Elder Scrolls Online because that's what I do now. I'm level 38, so I've given it a good fair flogging. Oh, wait, I'm actually past that. No, 38, 39. I haven't gone over 40 yet, I don't think. So just you know, I just sort of go to a location, have a look, and then do what I just kind of smash that map until I'm done. So at the moment, I'm hanging out in the Clockwork City, which is sort of like the Dwarven-inspired stuff. So just clearing my way through there. So they've got 8 main mission threads, and I'm 4 out of the 8 so far. So I'm just going around, getting all my little teleporty doohickeys, getting all my missions, clearing the area. That's the plan. I'm done. I'm happy. Outside of that, we did... I jumped into some Tekken 8 over the weekend.
Oh, to play the new Prime Minister?
Well, we did download her, and she kind of sucks. I'm not a big fan of her, personally. But it was just more of myself, you know, and some mates, and we're like, let's just buss each other. Very quickly, Eddie had to be taken off the table. Not because, you know, like I was doing such a good job with him, even though he is my main. It was very much of one of them have realized if you just smash X on Eddie, you make some completely unbreakable combo and you win. And I'm like, well, that's taking all the fun away.
Is that so because you've got
fucking stop that?
Maybe you should turn combo assist off.
That's probably a good idea.
Because then that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, so instead we just made the rule to like, no Eddie, including me. You know, even though that's the character that I know best. Outside of, I don't just press X. But then so that was all well and good. We're like, oh, cool. So we're having a good bit of fun. We're always seem to be equally matched until Craig discovers their character that they can just destroy with. And that was Kuma. And we're like, and then we couldn't dismantle Craig. Once he worked out Kuma was the one, because the idea was, you know, if you lose, you pass the controller. But if you know, because we're playing two player, and it just stood on Craig for ages. And we're like, well, fuck this bear,
king of the hill.
Yeah. So screw that noise. But it was fun. I kind of was wondering like whether, because I already had Tekken 8 installed. I was like, oh, maybe we should install Street Fighter as well, because I do quite like Street Fighter. As much as I'm enjoying Tekken 8 from what I've played, this is a good bit of fun in Street Fighter. The new one, was it 6, is very, very good. So the options were certainly there. Outside of that, I have not really been playing. Like, I have barely played my PS5, like, at all. Mm-hmm. Not for any main, like, obviously, because I'm obviously play, games here and on the computer, whether it be Elder Scrolls or Cornucopia or Go-Go Town or, you know, some of the other little games that I've been jamming with. We were discussing this the other day, like with it being winter and I'm in the lounge and it's the only room with a heater, like I do feel bad like controlling the room to play games.
It's almost like PlayStation sold you a device that would solve that problem.
Yeah, and which I have. And I have been using it for that. I played some
Persona. So I'm just being snarky and giving you shit.
No, it's absolutely true. And like I have been playing it in bed, but like Phoebe's very much the idea of no. And I'm like, but that's why I fucking bought it. So I'm not allowed to play it in bed. I'm not allowed to really play phone games in bed. The idea is when we go to bed, you go to bed. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But I'm also neurodivergent, and I need this stimulus to quieten my brain to go to bed. But you know, so. In other words, I just have to play games until I want to crash and then I go to bed, which is fine. but yeah, no, I'm just very conscious that like, you know, the game, like me playing games in there, like takes over the only room in the house. Well, the second room in the house with a heater, the other room is in here. So once I'm in here and the heater's on, I'm like, I'm not leaving this fucking room. I'm just going to stay and play on my computer. Right. So yeah, as a result, not really played a whole bunch. Watched a bunch more TV, watched some 30 Rock. Watch some more of The Boys.
What are you up to in The Boys now?
Final episode. We haven't started it yet, but the final episode of season 1. So we just had the big reveal about Butcher's missus. And I was like, and I know it gets way worse after this. I don't know what specifically, but I just know in general it gets worse. Watching a lot more of Dropout. Are you aware of the platform Dropout? So Dropout is the company that was formerly known as College Humor. So Sam Reich is the sort of the CEO, and he's created like a bunch of really good game shows. They have one called Game Changer, where the idea is that it's a game show, but every episode, the rules change, the whole game changes. So you never know what you're going in for. And with it being such a heavily improvident...
I know what Game Changer is, the one with like fucking Brendan Mulligan. I watch their TikTok shorts all the time. I'm a huge fan of that show.
The show itself is incredible, and they have another show called Make Some Noise, which is essentially a straight up improv show where they're like, here's a cue, go. And then there's a fun one called I'm Actually, where the whole entire idea of the show is just to like get really fucking nitty gritty and nerdy.
I just watched the episode where the rule was Brennan cannot win, and he gives this epic monologue at the end.
Is that one where there's the one where he gets they have a little like placard they have to show, and he like puts like a whole essay on it, because Brennan is the most competitive person.
Like, I think the end of the show is they're doing a name that bird.
Yeah.
And it's like penguin, chicken, and then it's like fucking some bullshit bird that no one's ever heard of before in their life. And he's like, well, this is bullshit. And then the next one is like rooster, flamingo, and then another bullshit bird. He's like, what the fuck?
So the one that the most recent one we watched was very, very funny, was a bingo game. Mm. But the idea is that, you know, there's three people on stage playing bingo, but there are people playing bingo of them playing bingo. So the people playing...
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one too. Yeah, yeah.
So the second group are all like, you know, they pick up all their little idiosyncrasies, their little mannerisms, and put them into a card. So then they have to manipulate them. So the idea is, once again, Brennan can't win, because it's not about them winning. It's about the other group winning, right? So that was really fun to watch him break. Because like he very quickly wigs out on what the... in general, whenever time he's on, he works out very quickly what the catch is, and then...
Mm.
And it's watching his brain unravel is very, very fun. But I thoroughly recommend Dropout. It's fun entertainment. Like it is raunchy, it's silly, but it's not mean spirited. And I think that's one of the key differences about it. Like they rag on each other, but it's not mean. And I think in the world of comedy and whatever that we see now, where they're very quick to be mean, I find this is quite nice in that it's still gut-busting funny, but no one's, like, being absolutely shat on.
Yeah, because they host Dimension 20 stuff, don't
That's
they?
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. Which I haven't dived into too much, even though I do think Brennan is an incredible improvisational artist, so I think his ability to be a games master would be redonkulous.
Hmm.
All right, so let's get in the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation, and it's only been 40 minutes in.
Mm. We'll kick things off with some firmware update nonsense. There was a lot of firmware update nonsense this week.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation Portal got some firmware updates. PS5 got some firmware updates, and there is some news on the beta firmware update for PS5 also.
All right, fill her in.
So for the PlayStation Portal, Sony has released new software update for its popular remote play device. Exclusively used to connect to and use your PS5 over Wi-Fi, has now been updated to version 3.0.1. They have improved the system software performance and stability. Shocker.
Is this another update? Because we had an update like, what, 3 weeks ago? That
I think this was last week.
Okay.
And the PlayStation Portal can now connect to a wider range of public networks, including certain 5 gigahertz networks. And then the little patch note underneath that is, to connect to public networks, please make sure that the initial setup for your PlayStation Portal is completed.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just opened it up even further to 5 gigahertz public networks.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Apparently there was some restrictions still.
Okay, yeah. So like one of the big updates, as you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, was that now it has a somewhat of an in-app browser.
It can you can log into public networks. So you can,
because the 5G one was interesting because like I use a 5G network in my house and it's not been an issue. But once again, if it's a 5G on, I think the original rule was, public, but 2.4. So maybe they've now pumped it to 5 per public, which is good.
For the PlayStation 5, you can now invite other players to your game sessions by sharing a URL to the session. To invite other players, open the game session action card and select share link. Then scan the QR code with your mobile device to share the link. This feature is available only for open sessions that anyone can join. This feature will gradually be rolled out to all players by July 24th. So I think this is good for like streamers who are like, hey, come join my game. Here is the link. And then you can click on the link and it'll boot up and you join and all the magic happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
There's not really a use case for scenario for, like, the general player, in my opinion.
Yeah, even for, like, you or I, like, I don't see it being, you know, benefit, like...
Because you would just send the invite itself. You wouldn't share the link to use the fucking phone to scan the code, to share the link to... It's just sending an invite with extra steps.
And also, I don't play games with people, so...
And then for the beta firmware, Sony will kick off the new firmware beta for PlayStation 5 this week at some time. Apparently came out Thursday. The beta boasts three main features: audio customization, additional remote play settings, and a quote adaptive charging method for your controllers. To start with, those who make use of the PlayStation 5's 3D audio functionality via headphones or earbuds will be able to personalize the tech to their tastes. Awesome. Basically, you'll be able to create your own audio profiles, which means that you can adjust individual elements. All you have to do is head to your console's sound settings, tweak things to your liking via a new startup process.
So this is a good improvement in that, like, have you dicked about with the Tempest audio stuff?
No, because I have a headset that runs through a mix amp and I do everything through the mix amp, not the console itself.
Because, like, it was relatively simple in that it was just, like, you could pick where the center point is in your surround, kind of where the speakers sit, and like that's really about it. But if you can, you know, if for like someone like myself who has kind of a dud ear, like it made it hard. So if I could tweak it in such a way that keeps everything central, but I can kind of bump up my right ear a bit to counteract my deafness, that'd be sweet. Shout out to being born premature and a fucked up ear hole. You know, so be able to like tweak it to my own personal thing would be very, very fun.
Next, a pretty simple quality of life improvement lets you choose who can connect to your PlayStation 5 through remote play. Handy if you've got friends and family who take turns accessing your system.
So for someone like yourself, I guess, who shares your password with your family?
Yeah, I guess so.
But then, who the fuck else is accessing your console?
And finally, there's an adaptive controller charging. The catch is that you need a new slim PlayStation 5 model in order
to try this out.
But it sounds like it could be somewhat useful. When charging a controller in rest mode, you'll be able to select a new adaptive option in the power saving settings and essentially charges your pad based on its current battery level, which can save power usage.
Oh. Oh, okay. If your
DualSense is at 80%, it's not going to fucking charge it at 100% the whole time. It'll be like, I don't need to put that much juice into it to get it charging.
Yeah.
We'll lower the output. And
yeah, I get that. It's like the adaptive batteries for your phone of night, right? Mm. Like it'll go and then it'll fade out towards the end of the night. That, and apparently it saves battery health, which is good.
Yeah.
Because the battery health of a DualSense is poo. But I look at this and like, yeah, if it's designed to assist in battery life, sweet. But like I use the docking station that they asked me to buy, you know, when that comes out, like, you want a fucking charging station? I'm like, yes, I do. And that's, well, fuck that. It's better charged out of the console now. I'm like, what? It's dumb. And I don't think they're going to push a firmware update to my fucking controller charger. Well, that's a presumption. I don't know. But look, Max, you mentioned that, you know, these new features are only available in the Slim. But it makes me wonder, like, will these things be available to those that have the PS5 Pro? Some more speculation about the imminent arrival of the PS5 Pro is circulating on social media once again, where it appears the source code for No Man's Sky newest update includes a reference to the supercharged hardware. Eagle-eyed data miners spot a reference to a graphics profile named, quote, Trinity, end quote, which is the rumored code name for the new console. Sony has frequently used names from The Matrix to internally label its unannounced products. Morpheus was the name of the PS4 Pro? No. Yes. Or Vita or something. I know, yeah, they've used Neo before, they've used Morpheus before, etc. Thankfully, they haven't used Agent Smith or the what was the big titty chick in the with the ghost, the not Evangelion, that's the stupid fucking anime. What was her name? She had a name.
You're talking about the ship captain who was like on the council?
Huh?
Is that who you're talking about?
I don't know. Like, there's a chick, and that she's like, she's they go to like a place, and she's all there, being a woman with big front area.
Talking about the Oracle? I don't know what you're talking about.
Persephone. Persephone. Monica Bellucci. Yeah. Persephone was the but like she's hanging out with a guy, who
Isn't he like,
concierge or whatever?
Merovingian.
Merovingian, thank you. That's what the next console, the PS6 codename.
The weirdo who gives orgasm cupcakes to people.
Yeah, that guy. Like, I want one of them. I want a cupcake. Why didn't they have that at Graceland, Max? that cheesecake did deliver that response to you, I'm sure. The graphics profile doesn't appear enormously different to the standard PS5, however, but some settings have been bumped from high to ultra, while the dynamic resolution scaling has also been increased. It's worth noting this may not be the final, and there could still be further optimizations made to No Man's Sky prior to the PS5 Pro's launch. According to documentarian seen by... documentarian? What? According to documentation seen by Insider Gaming, the souped-up system is targeting that November release date, which we discussed already, and Sony's sudden return to the TGS, or the Tokyo Game Show, has prompted speculation that it'll show off the system sometime soon, likely in the month of September. Shout out to No Man's Sky, by the way. Still getting support.
There's some No Man's Sky's quick bitties. I'll spoil it now.
Yeah, throw it in.
No Man's Sky Worlds Part 1 saw a near 500% increase in player count, up to 50k concurrent players.
Dude, like, what an absolute return story.
Every time there's a new update for No Man's Sky, everyone fucking turns up for it.
Yeah, and you know what happens? Everyone goes, oh, well, the meat on this bone is still really good, but the bones suck ass, so they leave. Because, like, there's all these great things that they've introduced to No Man's Sky, and then you start it up, and you're like, oh, I'm just laser beaming rocks, fucking get excited. And then you stop playing, because it's really boring. But, interesting to see that have them be the sort of the big leaker for the pro. I don't know. It's interesting, like, because we're still in such speculative territory, Max. It's hard to discuss the Pro in any further space. We have no new hardware specs. We've discussed how both you and I are like meh on it, mostly because I just bought the Slim.
And I've never bought a Pro console.
You've never
in
bought
my
a
life.
Pro model, you know. So like, neither of us are.
I'm loyal to the basic.
OG.
If it ain't broke.
Yeah. But it like does. Me. Yeah, it's good to see them. You know, little by little. We're getting more information. There's not much more we can elaborate on apart from sharing that bit of news, which, you know, spoilers, you probably could have looked at yourself, but don't think about it that way because then you'll never listen to the show anymore. So stop thinking about it and just only hear it from us. Thank you.
PSVR2. Our dedicated PSVR2 app has been published to PC platform Steam ahead of the expanded compatibility for the VR headset going live on the 7th of August. The application will be available the day before, and it guides you through the setup of the device for use on PC, as well as acting as the place to update the headset and its sense controllers when patches become available. You can view the page on Steam. Go check it out. The app must remain installed at all times to maintain compatibility. With the previously announced PSVR2 PC adapter required to connect to the headset to the PC, the adapter is costing about €49.99 or $60 US. You'll be able to adjust settings like your play area and screen brightness through the Steam VR dashboard, but remember PSVR2 features like headset feedback, adaptive triggers, and eye tracking will not work on PC.
So all the things that you know and love about your PSVR 2, can't do it on PC, which is a big thing. It makes sense why there has to be an app. However, I was sort of thinking that a lot of this stuff would have been reconciled with the breakout box. So imagine the amount of people that are going to be like, what? I have to fucking download an app to be able to play my... bitch and whinge complain.
Yeah, what's really weird is it requires you to have a DisplayPort to use.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just using like a pass-through cable, like a Quest, where you just plug in a USB-C and you're fucking Gucci. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what that box is when it gets here.
Yeah, look, by doing so, it does sort of help ensure that you're getting the directest ass graphic fidelity right to the thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not circumventing, like, because even within the computer, yes, it all happens instantaneously, but in order to go from the graphics card to the board to blah, 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 like, there's room for degradation, there's room for, you know, any sort of delay in processing. But going straight to the source, not a bad thing. Let me take down, let me, that was PSVR 2, and this one is fucking AI, says Max. Members of the USA Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA, have confirmed that they'll be going on strike from the 26th of July, so they've been on strike for 3 days at the time of recording, over concerns related to the use of AI in the games industry. Video game performers, such as voice actors, have been in talks with some of the biggest game publishers, including Activision, EA, Take-Two, and more, over a new type of interactive media agreement to protect their work and rights, but have failed to reach a positive conclusion. As a result, members will go on strike from that day. The union's official website states, quote, SAG-AFTRA is striking this contract so that members working in interactive media, parentheses video games, can continue earning a living during the job that they love. Our members' work and likenesses are being exploited by artificial intelligence, and video game companies have refused to plainly affirm in clear and enforceable language that they will protect all performers covered by this contract in their AI language. Additionally, your favorite performances are brought to life through the artistry of human actors who improvise, tap into personal experience, and collaborate with writers and directors to create a performance that only they could provide. No two actors are the same, and every performance is unique. Generative AI tools threaten to replace these artists with derivative, machine-recycled performance, lacking perspective or surprise. AI-generated performances will not carry the originality, pathos, or humor of an actual human actor, end quote. You can show your support for the strike with the SAG-AFTRA is calling for social media hashtags, hashtag level up the contract, hashtag video game contract, hashtag SAG-AFTRA strong are their preferred hashtags. Publishers that were part of the failed negotiations include Activision, Disney, EA, Insomniac Games, Take-Two, and Warner Brothers. Quote, we're not going to consent to a contract that allows companies to abuse AI to the detriment of our members. Enough is enough. When these companies get serious about offering an agreement our members can live and work with, we will be here ready to negotiate, said SAG-AFTRA President Fran Drescher.
Who has probably never played a video game in all
no,
life.
No, but I still love that she's like the representative of SAG-AFTRA. It's fucking cool. Next year's Grand Theft Auto 6 will not be impacted by the decision to call a SAG-AFTRA union strike, apparently, with over concerns surrounding AI replacing video game performers like voice actors in the title. Confirming to Kotaku, a spokesperson for the publishers included in negotiations said GTA 6 is, quote, exempt from the strike. Then, on the official SAG-AFTRA page, it stated union members can, quote, work on the game and will not be disciplined for doing so, end quote. Max, is there any information to elaborate why GTA 6 is exempt?
Not that I could see. Not that I could find. Which I found weird, because Take-Two is one of the companies that they call out for not being willing to negotiate. So it's interesting that GTA 6 is like, hey, good, go work on it.
Yeah, like I wonder what that is. Like, maybe it's something that, because once again, Take-Two being a larger company, maybe it's supplementary. Maybe Rockstar have their own agreement.
There you go. Games in development before September 2023, like GTA 6, are exempt from the strike.
Ah, oh, because I guess on the presumption is that a lot of them would be, like, you know, wrapping up or... Because, you know, it is one of those things where, same as, like, you know, the
SAG-AFTRA strike technically only applies to recently started projects, which is why GTA 6 is exempt.
Okay. Yeah, because most of the time when it comes to, you know, particular, from a development cycle, like, you know, the back end is normally just polishing and whatever, right? And fixing bugs and tightening the ship. So, like, the performers aren't always needed in those back, like, year, unless there's reshoots. Pardon me. But predominantly, like, they're pretty done by that point. Like, that's why you do see a lot of, like, narrative leads and storyboard artists, etc., tend to scoot around towards that, like, you know, those last year and a bit, 18 months, because they're really not needed anymore, which is a big old doohickey. Very cool. Any thoughts around the strike outside of that? Like, because, like, for me, looking at this, Max, like, the issue is with generative AI. Like, AI has been around for yonkers. It's heavily involved in all of the games we play, but it is the generative AI.
Look, it's unsurprising considering that they did the strike, early last year for movies.
Felt like it wasn't that long ago, but I think it was.
Yeah, so it makes sense that they're doing it over here as well. They've drawn that line in the sand already, and they have that precedence to fight for everyone under their banner. So it makes sense that they would bring it across here.
What you're seeing is the video game performances were not categorized in that previous one. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Did they specify why back then? Just because it was just different fight.
Different fight.
Yeah.
I guess.
But yeah.
Quick biddies?
Yeah.
That Concord DualSense looks sick.
It does. So to coincide with the launch of Concord, they have shown this new controller. To me, it looks like a darker version of the Starfield. Of the Starfield controller, which I also thought was a really sick controller. So to then be like, oh, well, I can kind of get it alternatively. Sweet. I'm going to rush out and buy the controller? No. Because, like,
it's more expensive than the Spider-Man controller. It's crazy.
And you didn't even pay for that Spider-Man controller. We were very kindly gifted one from PlayStation.
Yeah, shout out to PlayStation. Thank you very much.
I bought mine and gave it to my son, and he adores it. So he doesn't give a shit about Concord.
Star Wars Outlaws will allow for blaster aim with the DualSense gyro.
Ew, I hate that. I hate gyro. Gyro sucks. Sucks so hard.
To put some Concord numbers into perspective, we spoke about their concurrent players for the beta last week.
Yeah.
So at its peak on Steam, it had 2.4k players concurrent.
Less than 2,500 players.
Currently, the peak for Marvel Rivals, which is in closed beta, is 52,000.
Okay, so there's a couple of things at play here. One, Marvel Rivals is entirely a beta played solely on PC. Therefore, the entire player base is located in one location, where the Concord beta was separated by two platforms, and as a result, that has divided. As of yet, no player numbers have been released for console, and you can't actively seek them out. They have to be given, where Steam can be monitored a number of ways. So, am I saying that it's, you know, like, oh,
it is currently
the remaining 52,000 people, you know, to match the numbers we're playing on console? They weren't.
It is currently the Marvel Rivals is currently playable on console in closed beta.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Well, then my apologies. Because I think you said it was
on PC. I don't know when it's... I have been playing on PC, but as of... According to this article that I'm reading now, it is currently available on console as well. On
okay, PS5 well, in that Xbox case, I correct myself.
But this is just referencing Steam numbers for both games.
Yeah.
And lastly, if it's true, which I hope it is, San Diego Comic-Con has Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 1 and 2 remaster labels on some merch.
Get the fuck out. What? And also Reverend Park jumps in and goes, not to defend Concord. you could also get into the Marvel Rivals beta via Twitch drops. And that's fine. But like yes, but that's a closed beta, so I guess it feels more fancy. But once again, both the quote unquote closed beta for Concord and then the open beta was available to anyone that had PS Plus. So yeah, they threw it as wide as they possibly could. Once again, the only difference being that if there were PC beta keys dropped through Twitch, then there's a higher chance of them being with a higher player number. But once again, it was still readily available. Oh, hang on. See, Concord on PC, at least the closed beta, you had to pre-order the game. The PS Plus didn't matter. But even their open beta also didn't do well. So, yeah, once again, I'm saying Concord, they're like, I don't think it's as bad as people are saying in terms of a numbers perspective, but does that mean it's good?
We don't know what the console numbers are.
Yeah. I said, yeah, is it, you know, does it demonstrate that it's doing well? No, because I can assure you it's not going to do well, which bums me out. Because I think the people that are going to be most impacted by that are the team at Firewalk. Because the understanding is that they were selected, you know, they were already making Concord with funding from another company, whatever. PlayStation then chose to support it and then buy the studio because they thought of what this was going to be. And if this doesn't deliver, they're probably done. And on their first game, which sucks. And like they'll be absorbed into that support space or whatever, so... Reverend Puck also adds Dark Horse Comics had the QR code for the Legacy of Kane remasters, which is weird. That is there a Legacy of Kane comic series with Dark Horse? Maybe not. And Blair's here. Sup, Blair? Hey, Dawn. Because yeah, well, I stopped by the old Pop Culture. It was last week. Had a look at the little comic section, Dark Horse. And there's a good God of War one in there. It's the Horizon one. Did they have Legacy of Kane? Any games coming out this week, Max?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Correct, because the list wasn't out when I wrote that news doc, and I didn't update it for you.
Appreciate that.
So we have Thank Goodness You're Here coming out August 1st, PS5, PS4.
But is it based on the Australian TV show that everyone loved?
No, probably not.
Oh.
Next up, we have Toomba Special Edition coming also August 1st, PS5, PS4.
Oh, that's the old PS1 game, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe.
I think it's...
That's Star Wars Bounty Hunter coming out August 1st, PS5, PS4.
Wait, that's already out. Because that's the one with fucking Jango on or Boba Fett on the front.
I agree, man. I'm just reading it off the list from Press Start.
Yeah, well, I'm going to fucking question you, Max. Well, you are the keeper of the upcoming games. Okay, and this is what... And you're giving me false information.
I am reading this straight from Press Start because I didn't collate this list. So for anyone who wants to take it up, Kieran Verbuesch wrote this article.
Oh, well, and you didn't tell me that KV wrote this. If KV, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring into the integrity of KV. I was more in question the integrity accurate, of okay. you.
Oh, my integrity is non-existent. Like I said, I'm straight up reading this list from Press Starks.
I wouldn't be able to put I never questioned KV. I love KV.
And no, KV was nice enough.
They've been nothing but kind to us.
KV was nice enough to put together a list that I've completely stolen. Closer the Distance comes out August 2nd.
What
PS5.
The hell? What was that?
Closer the Distance.
Oh, okay.
It's a slice of life sim that tells a deeply emotional story about the connections between family and friends in the face of tragedy. Unearth long-kept secrets, repair strained relationships, and help your loved ones move on.
Oh, that sounds like right up my bullshit. I want to play it.
And that's it. That's all that's coming to PlayStation.
I want to play that game. That game sounds cool.
World of Goo 2 is coming out if you're playing on Switch.
No, I am not. But that's like I do like the slice of life games. So that's the ones I get the most kick out of.
Comes out on my birthday, man.
Oh, when is your birthday?
The 2nd of August, on Friday.
Oh! Old
as fuck.
Well, happy birthday preemptively, Max. I'm sure I'll talk to you on the day, but here in the show. Are you doing anything for your birthday?
No, I don't really celebrate my birthday.
Why not?
Although, this will be the first time in fucking ages that my mum will be here for my birthday. That's exciting.
Oh, you could totally milk this. Because you're like, you're, Nanny K, she's a little bit loose with her purse. So you can have some fun.
Well, she missed out. I tried to call her this afternoon because my son has like slowly started to like say mum, dad, all that fun stuff. But he's sitting there going, nan, 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 nan. And I tried to call mum and she didn't answer. So she missed out on the nan, nan. So,
oh,
yeah.
No, poor Nanny K. That's
what happens when you don't fucking answer your phone. You
What was she doing instead?
I have no idea because she still hasn't called me back.
Is she alive?
Yeah, she. I woke her up this afternoon when I called her because she's staying with my sister in Melbourne at the moment. Because their original plan, she flew in on Saturday. Their original plan was that they were going to go see Wicked. But mum's flight got delayed from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. and she completely missed the show.
Reverend Puck in the chat jumps in and goes, "You live with the guy, I don't remember his birthday." Look, I was married 10 years. We dated longer than that. It took me 8 of those those 10 years to remember my ex-wife's birthday. I am bad at birthdays. I am so bad
me
at
too.
Birthdays. Like Facebook and their birthday function has saved my life. Like I can tell you, my partner Phoebe, her birthday's October something. I want to say 19. It's in the teens.
She walks in the room. She's like, "It's February. Okay, it's already been."
Well, no, I know it's October because it was near when we first met. We met in September of whatever year it was.
Is she Halloween-y?
No, she's not Halloween-y. She's earlier in the month. I think she's around the middle of October. I'm going to say like the 19th or something. If she's watching the other room, she might just tell me, but she's probably not. So I can just sit here like a dingus. Nah, she's being absolutely unhelpful. Cool. Mate, it's probably because she's fell asleep and gets... Like, see, what's fascinating with Phoebe and how she watches the show? She likes the first part because it's where we just bullshit and there's very likely that she'll get referenced. So she's a big fan of that part. And then once we get into the game, she's like, I don't care anymore. The 17th! Oh, I said 19th. I was close. I was close. But also wrong. Because I used to get... Once again, my ex-wife, I got it off by 3 days. It was always 3 days early, and I was 2 days late on Phoebe's but this time. But I'll forget later. It'll be fine. Anyway, let's get it home, Max.
Alrighty, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculturist. We watch us record the show live. We jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are watching us on podcast service, wait. Yeah, well, if you're listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give... If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, scrub the comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players. To make matters worse, like, I barely remember my actual age. Because my birthday's in November, right? I always end up rounding up. It's like, oh, yeah, 35 or whatever. I'm pretty sure I'm... Like, I keep saying 35, but I'm pretty sure I'm 34 right now.
What year were you born?
89.
No, you're 30... Yeah, you're 34 now. You'll be turning 35.
Yeah, okay, cool. Because someone asked me the other day, I'm like, I turn 36. No, I don't.
I'm 33 this year, and I'll turn 34 next week.
Man, I didn't realize I was so much older than you.
Old as fuck.
Ugh. Ugh. Damn.
Not that much older than me. You're literally a year older than me. What are you on about?
But I'm in my mid-30s now. Mid-30s are gross.
You've been in your mid-30s for almost a whole year.
I have! Oh! Oh, this is horrible.
You're almost on the upper echelon of mids. You're mid to late almost.
I'm upper middle 30s.